Welcome, welcome to our weekly Course in Miracles study group. This is Corinne, and as always, I'm so thrilled that you all have taken the time to join and to bring our minds to truth. Just a reminder, if you have any background noise or if you're moving around, if you could just mute your line by pressing star 6, that way it'll keep a nice clear line. Thank you so much. All right, before we dive into our reading, let's pause. Taking a deep breath in and out. And bringing our attention to our willingness within our hearts. Connecting with our willingness. And offering our willingness to Holy Spirit. Above all else, we want to see. Above all else, we want to see differently. This little prayer means everything. And in your mind, offering your willingness to Holy Spirit, trusting that we are exactly where we need to be in our own growth and learning. There are no mistakes. And trusting that tonight we'll hear what we need to hear, share what we need to share, because we are joined together with the mighty companions. So taking a nice deep breath in and out. In this holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you. Certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With the love in your heart and light in your mind, coming together to our perception of right here. Right now. It always feels good to slow down. So if whatever edition you are reading from, go to chapter 26 and then to paragraph number 5. It begins with the sentence, "Those who would see the witnesses to truth." Just a reminder, I'm reading from the Circle of Atonement edition, so it's very likely that our paragraph breaks might be different as we move through the sections, and that's totally okay. Just follow along as best you can, and if there's any material that is different, feel free to just let me read to you. We are starting in the middle of this section called The Sacrifice of Oneness, and I believe that that's the subheading in all of the editions. Yes, it is. And basically, we sacrificed oneness by wanting to be separate. We didn't really sacrifice this. This is still available to us, but we threw it away. We turned away from it. We chose to use the power of God that is the fabric of our minds. We chose to forget our divine nature. We chose to take upon a grand amnesia and forget the truth. And by listening to ego, forget about just the choice that we seem to make long ago, choosing, you know, to turn away from God. We still do that in the present moment. And we can catch ourselves now doing that, and we can bring our minds back to the truth and have this awareness of oneness be restored to us now. So this section also just highlights, too, about, again, this idea of sacrifice being a complete totally, you know, ego, and that there is no sacrifice in truth. My eyes just rested on, oh, there's so many things I can highlight from the last few paragraphs, but we talked about that all last week, so I won't. The sentence that my eyes rested upon was that the memory of God must be denied if any sacrifice is asked of anyone. So there you go. All right, so let's dive into paragraph 5, and we'll read, and we'll pause and talk, and we'll read as much as we can tonight. And just a reminder again, for anybody who has background noise, if you can mute your line by pressing *6, that would be awesome. Okay, now paragraph 5. Those who would see the witnesses to truth instead of illusion merely ask that they might see a purpose in the world that gives it sense and makes it meaningful. Without your special function, has this world no meaning for you? Yet it can become a treasure house as rich and limitless as heaven itself. No instant passes here in which your brother's holiness cannot be seen. To add a limitless supply to every meager scrap and tiny crumb of happiness that you allot yourself. You can lose sight of oneness, but cannot make sacrifice of its reality. I want to read that sentence again. That's juicy. You can lose sight of oneness, but cannot make sacrifice of its reality. Nor can you lose what you would sacrifice, nor keep the Holy Spirit from his task of showing you that it has not been lost. So as we ask Holy Spirit to help us see the truth, to witness to truth instead of illusion, we are getting back our purpose. This is why we are here. We are here to heal. We are here to be miracle workers. We are here to ask to be shown the truth, to be willing to see the truth. And as we do that, that truth is restored in our brothers and in our own minds as well. This sentence where it says, it's kind of mid-paragraph, no instant passes here in which your brother's holiness cannot be seen. To add a limitless supply to every meager scrap and tiny crumb of happiness that you allot yourself. If we think that, you know, if I can just do the course in isolation and, you know, protect myself from the craziness of the world and not watch the news and not, you know, leave my house, whatever it may be, we can only get so far because the course says the lamp is lit in your brother for both of you. So when we see our brother, and when we see our brother's ego, it has to be because we are looking through our own. And so there it is, our opportunity yet again to turn to Holy Spirit, to ask for Spirit's vision instead of our own, and to see the truth even in what might seem, when our brother is maybe behaving insanely or acting insanely. It's still our job to be willing to see the truth. I'm going to pause there. Anything coming up for anyone so far?
I feel that I react less to attacks or my best friend is quite spiky sometimes, you know, and I used to react to her a lot and you know, asking her to wait that I end my sentence. And, you know, it was like a sort of a light fight, if I could say so. And I realized that I'm getting over that now. Mm. Easier.
Oh, how beautiful.
So
that's
it doesn't
beautiful.
Touch me. So it's like, I like to see things in my mind, visualize. So I see it like wind passing over my head, not touching me.
I love that, Margie. That's beautiful, and that's a perfect example of how as we engage in this work, our triggers don't trigger us anymore. And it might be that at times we still do feel that trigger, but there's a difference in that now, you know, the willingness comes in, our willingness to turn to the Holy Spirit. And so we're less reactive to the ego stuff, because all it is the ego trying to hook us, and we're just saying, nope, not interested anymore. So that's a perfect example. Thank you so much. Beautiful example. You know, I'll just pause here to just share something that came up recently, and of course everything that we see is, you know, an outward picturing of an inward state of mind, and so this is, of course, mine to look at, too. I've seen at times, I've mentioned this before, I think, in some places on Facebook, people kind of like beating each other over the head with A Course in Miracles, like, it says this, no, it says this, well, you're seeing through your ego, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like chickens just going back and forth. And this paragraph reminded me of that because it says here, no instant, as I just read already, no instant passes here in which your brother's holiness cannot be seen. To add a limitless supply to every meager scrap and tiny crumb of happiness that you allot yourself. So here it is. It's not about correcting our brother. It's about still being willing to see the love, even if there's, you know, a flavor of attack or judgment or whatever it might be. So I just thought I'd mention that too. Let's dive into the next paragraph. Hear then the song your brother sings to you, and let the world recede, and take the rest his witness offers on behalf of peace. But judge him not, or you will hear no song of liberation for yourself, nor see what is given him to witness to, that you may see it and rejoice with him. Make not his holiness a sacrifice to your belief in sin. You sacrifice your innocence with his and die each time you see in him a sin-deserving death. That makes me want to cry. Yet every instant can you be reborn and given life again. His holiness gives life to you, who cannot die because his sinlessness is known to God and can no more be sacrificed by you than can the light in you be blotted out because he sees it not. This is powerful.
Yeah, very.
Wow, it's right. I'm going to reread these first two lines. Hear then the song your brother sings to you. That reminds me of how the Course talks about the song of heaven. Hear then the song your brother sings to you, and let the world recede, and take the rest his witness offers on behalf of peace. But judge him not, or you will hear no song of liberation for yourself, nor see what it is given him to witness to, that you may see it and rejoice with him. That, again, I may have said this last week, and it's worth repeating because I need to be reminded of this, that it's like sitting on that banister of a spiral staircase or any staircase, and the moment we judge, we slide, boom, right back down into the ego's basement, and we're not going to hear that song of heaven from the ego's basement. It's going to be blotted out. It's still very much there, but we've chosen to go back into the basement of judgment. So that's pretty profound. It's also pretty profound how this paragraph goes on to say that you sacrifice your innocence with his and die each time you see in him a sin-deserving death. Yet every instant can you be reborn and given life again. So as you see your brother, you see yourself. As we judge another, that feeling, that heaviness of judgment, pulls down that shade in our own minds. As we condemn others, we're condemning ourselves. This is really like this, I don't even know the image, how to describe the image that's coming to mind, but this, like, you know, it's a holographic experience, but it's also a perfect mirror. And that's projection. As you try to condemn or judge or say somebody else is, you know, sinning, as you're pointing that finger out there, it's just reinforcing those exact condemnations and beliefs in your own mind. So if you're judging, you're going to feel judged. And I used to see this. You know what? I'll give a really practical example. I used to see this all the time. It was so powerful. Some of you may know I used to work as a full-time therapist in a college counseling center, and it was a school of music. And all the students had to do recitals. And many of the students had a very hard time with it because when they got up there, they felt like they were being judged by their peers. And every time we looked at what they thought of their own peers, they were judging them. So, you know, it's funny that I'm bringing this up because I always thought I didn't really explicitly tie in the course to my counseling at all, but here's a way where I sort of did, because I helped those students to see that the more that they judged when somebody else was on stage, the more that contributed to their own feelings, their own fears of being judged when they were on stage. So that is just a practical example of this at work.
Corinne?
Some questions coming up. Yes. Hi, Deidre.
Oh, hi. The discussion that we're having right now brought to mind a quote that I read from Anita Marjani a few days ago, and it's short. Do you mind if I read it?
Oh, please. That'd be great.
Okay. So the photo is a picture of a hand, just so everybody's aware, and it says, imagine fingers, each believing it is a separate entity. Upon death, it is discovered that each finger is actually part of the same hand. If we were to realize this while we were alive, we would refuse to kill anyone. We'd refuse to cut off any of the fingers of our own hand. And when I read that, it just gave me chills, because that is what the Course is talking about. The root of all suffering is the belief that we are separate entities. And so what you were talking about, Corinne, about pointing the finger at our brother and going, you know, it's the problems out there, the minute we're doing that, we're forgetting there's only one hand, like in this example, there's only one hand, and if you cut off any of the fingers, you're cutting off the whole sonship. So I just wanted to share that.
Thank you, Deidre. You know, I want to add, as you were, I love Anita Morjani, and she's got some really, really powerful messages for us. When the quote said, you know, I don't remember the exact words, but like if we really realized that, we'd refuse to kill anyone. The thought came to mind that to kill anyone is to see them as sinful, is to judge them, is to see them as who they are not, you know, is to see them as
exactly.
A body. By seeing the other, by limiting them to a body with a personality who's being a schmuck, let's say, you're killing you're not really, you can't really kill the truth, but like you're trying to cut off that finger, and all that's doing is hurting yourself. So I wanted to just expand that definition of kill, which I'm in light of our conversation, that's a beautiful quote, Deidre. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and it's funny, I was talking about this with my mom yesterday, is that the Course doesn't define death as just murder, like taking a gun and killing someone.
Yeah.
If we're thinking thoughts of separation, those are murderous thoughts. If you want to think of it that way, that's death for the ego. So,
awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you,
Corinne. This is a great paragraph. I think of some other spiritual disciplines that I've studied, including the AA Big Book, the Basic Scripts for Alcoholics Anonymous, and they talk about resentment is blocking me from the sunlight of the spirit. And that whole idea, I forget which lesson number it is, but it's the one about I do not perceive my own best interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about there was a group that I belonged to, and the person who is leading this particular group is not doing things according to what I would consider the vision of what that group is about. And whenever I've spoken up, I've been shut down to the point where I've decided not to go back to the group. But I'm trying to be in a place where I forgive, and even after all these years, I still can get caught up in the resentments. And I was doing this exercise, the workbook exercise, about in this particular situation, this is what I would like to see happen. And one of the things that I want to happen for me is that I want to be loved and heard and understood and validated. And I realized as we were talking about this that as long as I'm judging this person, then I'm not loving, I'm not validating, I'm not really hearing her cry for help. And in so doing, I don't have peace. I'm blocked off from the sunlight of the Spirit. So even just now as we were all talking, I started praying to the Holy Spirit because sometimes it's really hard for me to see through the veil of what the whole committee that's in my head. And just asking the Holy Spirit to clear the way, to open the curtains up so I can see through that. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you so much, Rick. That was awesome. Awesome, awesome example. And to just, again, highlight like the really important piece of what you just said is that, you know, you're asking, you're not trying to do that yourself. You're asking the Holy Spirit for help. You're calling in the Holy Spirit to do the Holy Spirit's job, which is
Yep.
So key. So key and so important because we're tempted often to do the Holy Spirit's job and fix our minds ourselves, which we know how that goes.
The more we work with the Holy Spirit, the more we trust that really giving it to him is all we need is a miracle. And for any more, I see how the Holy Spirit works, and I'm so much more willing to just do that. Just all I need is a miracle here. I'm not the miracle worker. The Holy Spirit is the miracle worker. An example I think is so cool. I have been wanting to retire for a while, and not knowing, there's a situation that was keeping me on this job, and I just couldn't leave because of this situation, and I kept just giving this to the Holy Spirit. And darn if they didn't hire another illustrator. I just found out. So now the situation that was kind of keeping me there has been lifted and taken. I can leave anytime I want now.
Oh, wow.
And but that trust, you know, every time I would get really anxious about this, I was just determined. I don't know how this can possibly change. I don't have the answer to this. I'm just handing this over. And out of the blue, it was just taken care of.
That's awesome.
This stuff works.
It does work. And I love your examples because they're just such powerful examples to the fact that this does work. It sure does.
The Holy Spirit is the answer no matter what the question.
Yep. Ditto. That is it. Thank you for that. Let's read another paragraph. You who would make a sacrifice of life and make your eyes and ears bear witness to the death of God and of his Holy Son, think not that you have power to make of them what God willed they not be. In heaven, God's Son is not imprisoned in a body, nor is sacrificed in solitude to sin. And as he is in heaven, so must he be eternally and everywhere. He is the same forever, born again each instant, untouched by time, and far beyond the reach of any sacrifice of life or death. For neither did he make, and only one was given him, by one who knows his gifts can never suffer sacrifice and loss. I love this. In heaven, let's try to just really feel into these words for a minute, because this is describing your present state. Maybe I'll substitute the word you. In heaven, God's Son, which is you, is not imprisoned in a body, nor is sacrificed in solitude to sin. And as you are in heaven, so must you be eternally and everywhere. You are the same forever, born again each instant, untouched by time, and far beyond the reach of any sacrifice of life or death. This is our present state now. This isn't later. This isn't something we're going to get to later. This is now. And so we by bringing our minds back to this truth. Anytime we're willing, to call on the Holy Spirit and be reminded of the truth, that little effort goes a long way. That's vigilance and bringing our minds back to the truth. You know, there's a footnote here. It's a few footnotes, but I'm just going to highlight one of them. It says, the sentence, "And as he is in heaven, so must he be eternally and everywhere. He is the same forever." This is based on a Bible quote from Hebrews. The quote is, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." The footnote says, "The Course applies this to our brother, given that he is God's son." So not only does this apply to our brother, but this applies to us as well. So we are the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I love how the Course does this in this area of the book, unless I'm confusing it with chapter 7, which is where I'm also reading. It does this a lot where it references a Bible quote. That Bible quote limits it only to Jesus. The Course takes that quote and expands it to all of us. It's not just for Jesus. It's for all of us, and this is one of those examples. We are the same yesterday and today and forever. Any comments or questions coming up for anybody so far?
Corinne?
Yeah.
What you've been reading, you're really saying, is to see your brother through the eyes of God.
Absolutely.
And this becomes easier when you actually feel your divine nature and have stepped away from that separation. If not, it becomes more difficult to see your brother through the eyes of God when you feel you are not a divine child of God and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And part of
Thank
God.
You for that, Alan. Yeah, yes, amen to that. You know, and I'll add, for some of us, that's how we're going to experience it. We're going to start to open to it first in ourselves, and then we're going to see it in our brother. But it can work the other way, too. And I just shared this amazing tearjerker of a video on Facebook, and it's a horse. And this horse is like, you know, a wild horse out in his pasture. Then when the horse goes into therapy horse mode, they bring this horse into hospitals, and it decides which room it's going to go in. It knows where it's needed most. And there's this one clip. It's a man who's, he looks maybe like he's
dying.
In his 40s, who's dying. And the horse just gazes at him, and you see the man just, and it says in the caption, you know, you see his heart open up. It's as if the horse is remembering the truth and sees the truth in him, and so then he remembers it in himself. It's beautiful. And if you go to my personal Facebook profile, you can see the video right there. It's awesome. Oh, thank you for that, Alan. Beautiful. How about let's read the next paragraph, and then we'll pause again for more comments. God's justice rests in gentleness upon his son and keeps him safe from all injustices the world would lay upon him. Could it be that you could make his sins reality and sacrifice his father's will for him? Condemn him not by seeing him within the rotting prison where he sees himself. It is your special function to ensure the door be opened, that he may come forth to shine on you and give you back the gift of freedom by receiving it of you. What is the Holy Spirit's special function but to release the Holy Son of God from the imprisonment he made to keep himself from justice? Could your function be a task apart and separate from his own? So God's justice, God's love, rests in gentleness upon his son and keeps us safe from all injustices of the world. In other words, all illusions that we would lay upon ourselves. God, the Holy Spirit, is there with the alternative, the moment we're willing to accept it. And again, it emphasizes our special function to ensure that the door be opened, that we be willing to side with Holy Spirit to remember the truth in ourselves and in our brothers. Love it. So anything coming up for anybody? Any questions or comments?
Yes. Well, maybe I would say, you know, I find this paragraph is quite difficult to apply sometimes, you know, especially when you talk to someone who is complaining about his life or about what happened on the news or, you know, it's not always easy. Not that I'm judging. I don't want to judge, you know. I just close my eyes and say, that's not real. I don't want to take that for reality, but it's a challenge when you're confronted to people that are not like, well, are not like you on in the illusion.
Right, and
and
that's
they,
where.
Yeah.
Oh, go on.
It's confusing. No, go, please go. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it is difficult, but we have to remember, number one, we don't have to get it perfect, and number two, we're not doing it alone. So it's not like, you know, Corinne is going to be super spot on every time that, like, somebody is complaining maybe about an issue that Corinne agrees with, and, you know, that's the moment of temptation where the ego is like, come on, hop on board again, like, get in this, you know, complain train, and let's join in this. And that's, you know, that's that moment of temptation. So it's not up to, this is the thing that helps me, is that it's not up to me to do it perfectly, because I'm trying to do it myself if I am. My little tiny part is to say, just like you said, you know, Holy Spirit, show me the truth. You know, this isn't the truth. And it can be helpful even after the fact. You know, if you don't remember in the moment, no big deal. After the fact is just as good, even if it's weeks or days or months, you know, after the fact. It's all about turning to the Holy Spirit. So it does seem difficult in that it's you know, there's lots of temptation there. But number one, we're not asked to do it alone, nor are we asked to do it perfectly. And we can bring our minds to this place even if we forget in the moment by doing so afterwards. I was just going to say, because, I mean, what I found is that I seem to end up in those circumstances less and less. Like, people start to sense in my life that I'm just not interested in going there. You know, I'm just not interested in talking about it. And so it just doesn't, so those temptations around me, you know, in my immediate life just don't seem to show up as much because, you know, I guess that's the inner work that I'm dedicated to, that we're all dedicated to. Rick, was that you?
Yeah, I was, for one reason, whatever reason, the sentence that really stood out for me is, it is your special function to ensure the door be opened, that he may come forth to shine on you and give you back the gift of freedom by receiving it of you. And it made me think of something else. I practice Buddhism from the Vipassana tradition, and there's one teacher in particular, like Thanissara Bhikkhu, and one of his talks, he was talking about, and this is something I've actually done before, when you're meditating, and we'll just use the metaphor of the body itself, is that maybe I'm meditating and doing a body scan and I find some places that are really uncomfortable. Maybe I have gastric distress or a pain or something like that. And what he says is to notice the unpleasant aspects of the experience, but don't just stay there. Then start searching around the body for places where pleasantness is occurring. And once you find that, try to spread that pleasantness around the rest of the body. So if I have a real pain in my side for whatever reason, but I feel somewhere in that experience or somewhere else in my body that there's a sense of warmth and comfort or something that's pleasant, if I can focus my attention on that, perhaps the power of the pain or the unpleasant experience won't be as bad. And I was thinking about that even with the situation that I mentioned earlier, is that I sometimes find it very hard. I feel like I'm stuck behind this veil. I know I'm behind the veil, but maybe there's a door opening somewhere where there's something about my brother or my sister where I can see the Holy Spirit there, where I can see the light. And if I can just find even a small beam of light, a small pin of light, and focus on that, and then as I focus on that, let that expand through my experience, perhaps that is my way of ensuring the door be opened to that.
I love that, Rick. I love that leap that you just made from the Vipassana teaching into the course-like teaching of shifting your focus. That's what both examples really speak to, is that we can shift our focus. This isn't a passive thing that we're just going to like hang out and just wait. Like, no, the course is saying, it's teaching us to actively shift our focus, to have that vigilance. Ultimately, we don't need vigilance at all because, again, truth just is. But while we think we have choices, while we think there is an ego, that's where the vigilance comes in. So beautiful. That was really helpful. I also want to add, this is awesome that you highlighted this quote that we just read. And I'm hearing an echo, so I'll try to talk a little bit more softly. It is your special function to ensure the door be opened, that he may come forth to shine on you and give you back the gift of freedom by receiving it of you. This part, it is your special function to ensure the door be opened. It doesn't say it's your special function to open the door. It says it's your special function to ensure the door be opened. And how do we ensure that the door be opened? That's our willingness. That's that small part that we're asked to play. We're not asked to open the door. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Awesome. Thank you, thank you. Do I hear Nicole?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Hi, everyone. So this reminds me of Lesson 62, which I read earlier today with another group, and the sentence keeps popping out. That is why all forgiveness is a gift to yourself. So that door opening, hard to put into words, but the more I seek that forgiveness within myself, I'm able to more easily forgive or see the light in the other person or people who I might be challenged with. And it's in the mind that this all happens. And I'm just getting it. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you, Nicole.
What was the number of the lesson, please? I'm sorry. I didn't hear what was the number.
I think it was it 66, Nicole?
Lesson 62.
62.
Okay, thank you.
Yes. And
thank you so much.
For me, it was another way to better understand the paragraph that we're reading right now. It's in alignment, basically.
Awesome.
That's all. Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much. Wonderful. Anybody else?
Renee, share.
Hi, Homira.
Hi. So I was just thinking, you know, about somebody before, the lady that just spoke, was talking about how sometimes it's really difficult to do that in the world when, you know, people are so mired in, you know, the daily activity of news and whatnot. And I had an experience with a person who is in pain and was asking for help. So I had recommended for her to read Love is Letting Go of Fear, which is based on the course, as you all know, by Dr. Jampolsky. And she had read it. It's a very short book. And it had aroused a lot of anger in her. And, you know, she was ready to fight. You know, she was like, how could this book is so stupid. How could it say to see everybody equally the same? You know, how could I see a rapist the same way as I see an innocent person? And, I mean, and she had, you know, one thing after another to basically prove her point. And I found myself sitting there. And I watched my ego wanting to defend, and I watched it. And then I was talking to the Holy Spirit, which is the higher mind within all of us. It's not a separate thing, right? And I just was asking for help to really see the light in her in that moment. And as I was just, as she was saying this, and I said, yes, it really does seem that way. So I was agreeing rather than opposing, which is, I said, yeah, it does, the world does seem really crazy. It really, isn't that interesting? You're right. I mean, you bring up such a good point. And I wasn't trying to be condescending. I was really like, yeah, I've been there. I know what you're talking. I go there sometimes even now. And as I was doing that, and I was just asking Holy Spirit, I really need your help right now. Higher mind, help me to really see the light in this person. And just really more in quiet and just bringing that energy more than words. She quieted down herself. And then I said, you know, isn't it interesting? I said, you know, you asked for help, and this is sort of the intuition that I got to offer this book to you. And let me just ask you this question. Yes, I can see that seemingly everything does seem exactly the way you're saying. But is it giving you peace? Are you happy? She said, no, I'm miserable. I said, yeah, exactly. I know what you mean. And then so, you know, I said, and then she just kind of quieted down. I said, isn't it interesting that you also came for help, and that clearly some part of you is, because there was parts of it she was like, okay, I can understand how. I said, there's some parts of you that is understanding this, but there's another part of you that's fighting this. And it's realizing that if you really start going in this direction, that other part's going to lose. And she kind of like looked at me like with these like questioning eyes. And I said, and isn't it interesting that you bring in rapists and murderers, and we're not even talking about that. We're talking about you. And she started laughing. I said, that's what the ego does. It goes to the most extreme places to find reasons for us not to grow, because it would be the death of it. You know, it would be the death of us listening to it. And she kind of looks at me and she goes, you must think that I'm just crazy, and you must think that I'm really, like, I really must be really off. And I said, no, I don't see you the way you see yourself. I see the beauty in you. And she just kind of like softened up, you know. And I'm not saying she said, oh yeah, I'm going to read, but she just, I said, and you know what, you can put that book aside for now. You can, you know, we can look at something else. There's so many ways if that book isn't resonating. So I wasn't fighting her and trying to defend. And what ended up happening was she just softened up and opened up. And I thought, wow, this is totally the Holy Spirit. Because I could see myself going, you know, being lost with somebody that has everything to prove in that moment, because they're in so much pain and they can't believe that something else can exist aside from that. And I just saw the beauty in her. You know, with
Homira, you are such a gorgeous and gentle teacher.
That's beautiful.
Example is just, I want to say, out of this world. Like, to meet, seriously, like to be able to meet, and I feel like I've been in that place of what you described of like almost wanting to defend the course, right? Like, it's like, no, like, it's not like that. And like, you want to get, and, but you just rolled with her resistance and you validated her and you listened. And what did that do? But it turned the whole situation around. Like, that is just so awesome and profound. I love it.
The way to do it.
And
that is the way to do it.
It's really God. It's really like, if we're willing, you know, God is so powerful, and God is in every one of us. And if we're willing, it can happen. And I've certainly had other moments where I haven't been able to do that because I've given into my ego head, you know, my ego voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm, you know, this is something that I'm practicing. And this is something that I hope to aspire to do all the time, but certainly I come short a lot of times. But this one experience, and, you know, it's like when I saw her softening, it really confirmed to me the power of love. So it wasn't just for her, it was for me. It was a testimony for me. It's like when we help a brother, we help ourselves because we're all one, you know. And it really, like, was a testimony to that.
You know, I think the ego gets in there when you have an experience like that, and I've had many like that, and it really, really works. But the ego is that sort of background noise that says, yeah, well, that was good this time. you know, and that's what you want to really be careful to be. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't even matter. You know what? It doesn't mm-hmm. even matter. The Holy Spirit is always there. We can call on the Holy Spirit anytime and receive the help anytime. We can't get it wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, Hilmira, right. That was wonderful. Thank you.
Well, thank
yeah,
you.
What a blessing. That's a blessing for all of us. All of us
yeah.
to learn from and to see that when it seems like it mm-hmm. can be so hard, that like look at how easy it can be.
mm-hmm.
Deidre, were you going to add something?
I just wanted to thank you for sharing that, Hilmira, because it's gorgeous. And, you know, we all of us have that within us if we just allow ourselves to be instruments of love. And we all have the same capacity, so we're all, like, qualified to do exactly what it is we're doing. Because the mm-hmm. ego, the belief in the ego loves to get in there and be like, oh, you know, you could do so much better or whatever, bah, 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 stuff that it's coming up with at the time, but none of that matters.
Mm-hmm.
What matters is the love. And that is such a profound example, Hilmira.
It really speaks to, like, in that situation, in that moment, you fulfilled your special function. You know, that there's, again,
exactly.
the ego script, and there's two ways that it can go. It can just go down the ego road and, you know, turn into like, no, but this is a great thing, and why? And then just that resistance there. Or, again, there's that repurposing and that going, mm-hmm. that being led by spirit, by the heart, and then that's where, you know, you're fulfilling your special function by being the Holy Spirit's miracle worker, being that channel, that vessel.
Well, Corinne, I wasn't going to share this. Tears are actually rolling down my face because I thought I'd keep it in my secret place. But something happened that evening after this experience. I was walking with the dog, and it's been raining here where I live, and it was sprinkling a little bit, and the sky was really gorgeous, and there was all these trees, and I was walking with the dog, and this wasn't something I did at all. I've never experienced anything like this. First of all, I started noticing that everything was so crisp and sharp and so extremely beautiful. Mm-hmm. And so I first just was like in awe of just like looking around and going, what is going on? And this was like after, so I just was noticing that and just being really just in joy. And then like half an hour had passed by, and I was at a certain spot. We're halfway in our walk, and all of a sudden something happened to me, and everything was one. Everything, like the house, the trees. I can't explain it, and I feel like I'm kind of like I shouldn't even be sharing it. Like there's something I read a long time ago, when you have experiences like this, if you share it, it takes away from it. But because you guys are my tribe, I just mm-hmm. feel like I need to share it. And it was, I was dumbfounded. And the moment it was like, it seemed like eternity, but it was probably only a few minutes. And the moment I started questioning it, it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait, what happened? Everything went white? Is that what you said?
Everything became
one.
It just,
everything was one.
I felt a part of the tree. I felt part of the house. I felt part of the grass. I felt everything. Everything was just like connected. I could feel everything.
I love you guys.
I think that's amazing.
You guys, I have let go of trying to do this so perfectly. Like when I was reading, I would come and I would read for 3 hours, and I was trying to do the work. When I was doing that, I wasn't having this. The moment in this past year, you know, after my father passed away and I went through some stuff, and I've let go and I've become more gentle with myself and more kind, and I'm not doing much except just a little bit here and there and just touching on truth, and but carrying a conversation with the higher mind, with God all the time. I don't know what happened. I don't even know if it's real as I'm sharing it with you guys, but that was my experience.
I'm sure it is real.
I
believe you. Really, I believe you.
Homira, I have to comment, and I do see, I'm guessing, I saw Nicole that you came off mute, so I'll hand the mic over to you in just a moment. But Homira, I just have to number one say thank you from the bottom of my heart and from the bottom of everyone who is listening,
yes.
The bottom of everyone's heart, because your sharing it makes it stronger. You're sharing
mm-hmm.
it. You're sharing it for us too. We're learning from your experience. I'm getting goosebumps and all teary and choked up. So I thank you for sharing. I know that I've heard that same teaching too of like, you know, it's best sometimes to just keep these things to yourself, but we are your tribe. We are our family, and we're joined in this work together. So sharing it makes it stronger. So I thank you so much for sharing that with us. And that your experience, again, is just such a beautiful example. And if I can just, again, highlight too that I mean, we've been doing these calls for how long? And Homira, I know like in the past you'd share the struggle of this work, you know, like that very
yeah.
honest place that we've all been in, if not, you know, are currently in. And the pivot point, that turning point that you just described, that it was when you stopped trying to do this perfectly, you let go and you became more gentle and kind with yourself. Like, I feel the love of God shining through you. Like, I feel it, and I am so grateful for it, because it's helping all of us. So thank you for not only for sharing, but for sticking with this and for choosing to not try to do it perfectly anymore, because I think that's something we all need to remember
yeah.
too, is that we can get very, you know, serious about this. And what does it say? Something about happy laughter, like, is going to replace
mm-hmm.
everything. Like
yeah.
that lightheartedness is everything. So thank you so much. That was a revelation, or it feels like it was beyond a holy instant to me. It was something in that category. We don't have to label it, but it was very real, and I felt it. I know we all did. So thank you from all of us.
Thank you, Corinne. Thank you for being such an example, and all of you, thank you for being here and providing
mm.
this space. I'm so grateful.
Mm. I am too. Thank you, Homira. Nicole, did you want to add something?
I did. Thank you. I too have tears in my eyes when you were sharing. Homira, am I saying it correctly?
Homira, yes.
Okay. And I've been closing my eyes a lot so I can listen better to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And when you were sharing about how you felt the oneness and the crispness of everything, my eyes were closed, and for a moment, I saw the Milky Way. I can't explain it, but for a brief moment, I saw eternity in space, and it was a very brief moment, but I hear you, and your words are... you're speaking to my heart, I'm sure to a lot of other people's as well, and it's thank you personally, and you're helping a brother. I'm a sister, but I'm a brother. And
thank you.
And when you said your tribe, that drove it home even further, and I'm just really happy to be on this call with everyone, and I'm going to hopefully be more committed to the Sunday night gathering, and I'm just loving it. Thank you.
Thank you, Nicole.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Hi, Corinne. Am
yeah.
I off mute or? Okay, hi.
Yes,
it's
you
Brittany.
Are. Yep. Hi, Brittany.
So I just wanted to share because I'm, you know, I'm very, very new to the course, and I think it was it about 6 months ago that I took your course, I think. That you did.
Yeah, I think so.
And so, like,
yeah.
that was the very beginning for me. And I think that every time that I make the commitment to do anything with the course, like, the biggest thing that comes up for me is coincidences. And, like, that's how, like, everything kind of, like, comes to me and, like, starts making sense. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, another coincidence. Like, every time that I dig into the course, like, that's what happens.
I love it.
And so tonight...
when somebody was mentioning about the hands and the fingers, that's literally how my father explained spirituality to me when I was a child. And that image has stuck with me my entire life and continues to. And like, that's how I kind of always view it. So it's like so interesting that, of course, like my first call, that was brought up. And then on top of it, all of these paragraphs spoke to an experience that I had recently with my boyfriend, where, you know, we got into this like blowout argument, which, you know, I felt he was like completely overreacting to something that I had said, and I felt like misunderstood. And, you know, it was completely out of left field because our relationship has been like phenomenal. And I was like extra upset about that because it was so good. And so that day I ended up taking a long drive, and on it I was thinking, you know, Holy Spirit, please, you know, help me to see things differently. And I want to take my ego out of it. And it was really, really, really powerful. I ended up actually calling him on the drive and just saying, listen, I want you to know that I'm taking the time to see this differently and not see it as me against you. And it suddenly became not about like defending myself or how I felt that I was looked at in a wrong way, but like that kind of like we were one, and him talking to me was me talking to me, you know what I mean? And I can see him with a lot more compassion in that way. And so I think even not just me talking to the Holy Spirit, but then talking to him with those same words, you know, brought him down to that level as well. And of course, like, you know, we were able to communicate a lot better and worked everything out, and things are even better than before. And so, you know, it was just crazy to me, even from the first paragraph that you read, I was just like, oh man, like I just experienced that. I just experienced that like last week. So.
Oh, Brittany, that's amazing. Those are those cosmic winks, spirits telling you you're on the right path. And
yeah. Every time.
I'm also laughing too, because I didn't realize that when you took the How to Heal Anxiety class, that was your first, you know, time diving into the course, because that was hardcore. Like that was like really hardcore. So good for you for just for diving in there. But it's awesome to hear you say that you're seeing your experience reflected in these pages, and that it ties in with, you know, these feelings of having these coincidences. Oftentimes on these calls, the circumstances might be different, but the lesson, you know, there's parallels. And that is just like, yeah, those cosmic winks, that resonance that just fills you up when you just, you know, this path just is speaking to you. So that's amazing. That's really cool. Really cool. Yes. Hi, Sue.
Hi, this is Sue. I just wanted to comment on Humera's experience. That is our true reality that she experienced. And you had quoted before about where it says in the Bible where Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
There is a quote in Romans, I think it's chapter 8, verse 19, where it says, all creation groans. And it's using the term groan as in birth pangs. All creation groans with great expectation for the revealing of the sons of God. So creation is actually waiting for us to come to the realization of who we are, so it can be seen as it is, one with us.
I love that. I love that. Beautiful. Wow. My goodness. Everybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see we're over our time, so I want to be respectful of our time, but I love you all. Thank you, everybody, whether you shared or just helped hold the space and allow the words to touch your heart as they touched mine. thank you all for doing this. I love you all, and I look forward to joining next week. Have a good week, everybody.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
So long, everybody.
Bye. Bye, family.
Oh, hi, Carla. Bye, Carla. Hey. Oh, good night, everyone.
Good night.